The Foo Fighters Waiting on a War. Hanging with Spencer from Under Oath. He's making your playlist today on the noon hour of Madness and Mayhem, powered by McKenzie River Pizza of Idaho Falls. Yeah, if you guys are looking for food, Mac River, they're real close to where you guys are staying. They're great.
Some of the best burgers.
Yeah, we'll check it out.
Yeah.
You'd mentioned Foo Fighters earlier in the show, and I see that you have Foo Fighters on your list here.
You know, if you don't look up to Dave Grohl and you play rock and roll music, then I have no interest in you, I think.
That's a great way to put
honestly,
it.
Like, I grew up, my dad was a classic rock fan. You know, in my house, we had, you know, there's Led Zeppelin always on, Pink Floyd, which I'm wearing a Pink Floyd shirt right now, actually. The Doors, the Beatles, Zeppelin was just all the time. So Led Zeppelin being the thing that my older brother fell in love with, I was like, man, I want to play guitar, you know, and I started to learn how to play guitar. But when I think Nirvana was the first thing that I felt like was mine, I had an older brother and two older stepbrothers. So I had cool music when no one else around me did. Like the kids in my school were still listening to like children's music and I was listening to rock. But Nirvana to me was just like seeing Kurt Cobain and just yelling into a microphone and playing guitar at the same time and just the energy and all that. Just, it just felt like it was something that was, as a kid, like attainable, you know, like the stuff that my dad was showing us and seeing, like we're seeing arenas of people with Led Zeppelin on these VHS tapes and all the stuff that my dad had and my brother had. It was like, it seemed so, you know, like, oh wow, like real rock star stuff. Not saying that Nirvana wasn't and it didn't become that, but a lot of the earlier footage that was of Nirvana was, you know, they used to saw them in clubs and stuff and like all this stuff. Like it seemed like it was like, whoa, like I could do that, you know? So I fell in love with that grunge era and Nirvana at a very, very young age. And then obviously after, you know, Kurt Cobain passed and the Foo Fighters first album dropped, I remember waiting in line at a local record store in North Carolina to get it. And they gave me the poster off the wall. And it has like this dude, like a bald guy, like really weird looking. I'd have to find it online. But I think maybe that was the original cover or something. They switched it, but it was a different thing. And then the cover of the album was down on the bottom. And he took it off the wall and gave it to me because I was so young. He was like, dude, you're in line for this? He's like, owner of the store gave me it. It was on my wall all the way up until high school and I moved out. So Foo Fighters, yeah, it's just, I mean, Dave Grohl is one of the last remaining rock stars, I think. You know, Dave Grohl and Liam Gallagher, just two dudes out there that are still just the real deal, in my opinion.
Have you ever had a chance to meet him?
One time.
Was it a fangirl moment for you?
It was. It was wild, too. And I can tell the story. You can edit it out if you want, if it's too much. But we were making Lost in the Sound of Separation, and I had to fly out for a Revolver photo shoot. So I'm flying from Atlanta to L.A., and I have to get back in a hurry. So I wake up after the shoot. Next day, I'm waking up in L.A., go to LAX. I get out of the shuttle from the hotel, and I see Pat Smear get out of a taxi cab and walk by. And I hadn't met him before on Warped Tour. And I just, it's Pat Smear, you know. So Pat Smear walks by. So I go through all this, you know, the LAX BS of waiting in lines and all that. So get there. They move my flight. Oh, God, go. Jeez, got to go to the international terminal. Get all the way over there. I'm waiting there, trying to figure out which thing, waiting for them to tell me how much longer my flight's delayed and all this. And then Taylor Hawkins walks by. And I go, oh my God, Foo Fighters, they're here. You know, like, and then I see Dave Grohl walk up to him and they're standing right here, you know, like in a little huddle. And I like walk behind one of the like, you know, directory things, like the board to like hide. And I called my older brother. And I was like, dude, you know, Dave Grohl, blah, blah. He's like, you have to say something. I was like, I can't. Like, I know what it's like. Kids come up to you and bothering you at the, you know, I don't want to be that guy, you know, like, it's like one of my idols. I can't do that. You know, like this is his time. It's weird when kids come up to you and I guess it's flattering, but like, I don't know. I just didn't want to be that guy. My brother convinced me to do it. So I walked over to him and tapped him on his shoulder. And I remember saying like, hey, I think I said, I don't want a picture or an autograph. I just want to let you know that everything you've done has affected me in the best way possible. And I remember he looked at me really strange, like he was super pissed off. And like he made a joke, and I wish I could remember what it was, but he was trolling me. And he was just like, oh, I'm just f-ing with you. And like, he's like, dude, that's so rad. He's like, you don't want a picture or an autograph or anything? I was like, no, I don't know if they were like drunk or something. He's like, you going to Japan? He's like, you want to come to Japan? And I was like, no, I'm flying back. I'm actually making a record. Like I'm flying back to the record. He was on the cover of Revolver the month before. I was like, I was just doing Revolver. And he, you know, kind of took him by like, oh, this is some guy in a band. So he ended up asking me what band I was in. And we talked and he offered me a coffee and I sat down and had a coffee with him. At the time, I love coffee now, but at the time, I was super young. I hated coffee, and I choked that thing down with a smile on my face. It was just like a little cafe right there next to the gate, you know? And he kept joking with me about, you know, coming to Japan with them. And then I tried not to talk about myself too much, but just, you know, I was like, yeah, I got to go make my record and this, that, and the other. But, you know, you're just a huge fan. And I didn't say a whole lot, but he was the nicest dude ever that I couldn't believe how nice he was, which made me love him even more. And then our manager ended up sending him to Fire on the Great Line on the plane, apparently, because we were Red Light manager at the same time, which was the same as the Foo Fighters. So we were somewhere trickled down in that pond. And apparently his manager sent him over to Fine. And apparently he listened to it. But I don't know if that's true or not, or they're just being nice. But yeah, I ended up getting my album to Dave Grohl. Long story short.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
That's a great story.
And I've heard nothing but the best things about that dude. Like, I've never heard anyone be like, yeah, I met him. That guy sucks. You know? Like,
oh, yeah.
Everyone's like, Dave Grohl's the best. So.
Yeah, when Lou Brutus on Facebook or Instagram the other day, if you could meet one rock star, who I put down immediately.
Right.
Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
Did you watch Hot Ones with Dave that came out like last week?
I haven't yet.
It just makes you like him so much more. He's just so cool.
Yeah, he is so cool. And he's on that new Liam song too, which is another one of my idols, Liam Gallagher from Oasis, and
right on.
His solo stuff. And Dave plays on his new single. And that's just like, dude, that's the two coolest worlds colliding, in my opinion.